Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus this morning, some of them seem so simple to hear, but yet very difficult and challenging to live out. Lord, we just pray that having been here together today, that we will have gained something that will strengthen us and encourage us in our daily living. And especially during this Lenten season, Lord, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Easter season, we have work to do during Lent. And we just pray that our time together and the message today will help us in that journey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know anyone or know of anyone who seems to be able to do everything well? It just seems like there's nothing that they can do. I mean, I've heard of some of those people. I'm not sure I've met any of them. But when we are confronted with such accomplishments, most of us feel very inadequate, like we don't measure up. Even the author Charles Duhigg, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who writes for the New York Times, felt that way. He should have been proud that one of his books was a bestseller. But when he looked at some people around him, he realized that he was not doing as much as he could be doing. In describing his feelings when learning about one of those exceptional people, he confessed, quote, "I felt like I was playing in the kiddie pool while the man with so many accomplishments was swimming in an Olympic pool." And this leads us to a Lenten reflection as we consider our own faith lives. Are we playing in the kiddie pool or swimming in an Olympic pool? Our goals help to define that answer. That author could have kept on splashing around for little kids, and there's nothing wrong with that. But instead, he focused on how to make it into the Olympics. He looked into how some people are able to tackle so much, and then he authored another book entitled Smarter, Faster, Better: The Secrets of Being Productive in Life and Business. He writes, one piece of advice is to stretch yourself. Big goals are not impossible, even though they may seem out of reach, he writes. The reality is that the more ambitious we are, the more we'll do. And author Duhigg recommends creating stretch goals. And the stretch goal is a huge ambition, he writes. It inspires our motivation and dreams, but it can create panic. To avoid panic, the author says that we should break stretch goals down into shorter-term goals that are more achievable and more manageable. Big stretches are best achieved one small stretch at a time. I think we've always learned that. If we have a big job to do, break it into components, and it's easier to accomplish the large thing. In the Sermon on the Mount and the verses that we read this morning, Jesus reinterprets some of the laws of the people that were given to Moses as he offers us some very ambitious stretch goals. He speaks to his disciples and a crowd of people, and Matthew reports in chapter 7 that these people were astounded at his teaching. Figuratively, these listeners realize that they have been splashing around in the kiddie pool while Jesus is swimming in an Olympic-sized pool. So just try to imagine Jesus swimming in a pool. Now, again, first century, that was not, they didn't have pools for, recreational swimming. So we're sort of taking that image and sort of superimposing it on something that doesn't really fit. And I know Marilyn would be the first to tell us that. But just try and envision, Jesus in a large swimming pool. And it's not that little kiddie pool that you blow up, or the plastic one that cracks every year and you have to get a new one every summer. The point is, though, that the people were listening as Jesus taught. They were fascinated at his teaching. And figuratively, many of them wanted to jump from where they were in those little kiddie pools to be with Jesus in that big Olympic-sized pool. They wanted to follow Jesus, even though they didn't fully understand all that he was teaching. So what are some of those stretch goals that Jesus sets before us through this scripture? In his teachings about anger, adultery, divorce, and oaths, from today's scriptures, Jesus creates a contrast between yesterday's kiddie pool living and tomorrow's Olympic pool attitudes and actions. As we wrestle with each of these teachings, we move closer to our stretch goal of swimming with Jesus. The only way to get there is one small stretch at a time. And these are four things that a lot of times people don't want to hear these teachings, you know, that Dorothy read about from Matthew and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Those are things, oh, did he really say that? What did he really mean? It's like, well, can we just sort of skip over those? You know, we're going to wrestle with them a little bit today. Concerning anger, Jesus says that the rules of the kiddie pool are, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. These seem like completely sensible rules, especially since no one wants to swim in a pool when people are trying to drown each other. The slogans Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter remind us that we all want a world in which people can live without the fear of being murdered. But Jesus wants us to stretch ourselves to swim in the Olympics. This is where the rules are harder, for he says, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. For Jesus, avoiding murder is not enough. We are also supposed to control our anger. 2 years ago, a Jordanian pilot was burned to death by the Islamic State. And the news was full of angry talk. I demand none of them amongst us be kept alive, said the pilot's grieving father. I demand the revenge be greater than executing prisoners. A politician in Jordan said, let's kill their children. Let's kill their women. Such anger is understandable. But revenge and punishment will not bring peace to the Middle East. Violence is a cycle deeply rooted in human nature, and revenge killings have kept the wheel turning for thousands of years. The maxim, an eye for an eye, is actually an attempt to break the cycle by declaring that we can only take an eye from a person who has taken our eye. We cannot kill their women and children. For Jesus, the goal is not revenge, but reconciliation. He always wants us to work for peace. When you are offering your gift at the altar, he says, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. We sort of see here, Jesus is wanting this reconciliation. He wants the reconciliation horizontally among our brothers and sisters before we offer our worshipful gifts in the vertical sense to God, which we see as a cross. But Jesus says it's important both ways, both the horizontal relationships as well as our vertical one. In a similar manner, Abraham Lincoln advised that the very best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him into a friend. Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. All of these leaders knew that punishment and revenge never succeed in breaking the cycle of violence. Moving on concerning adultery, Jesus says that the rule of the kiddie pool is, you shall not commit adultery. This is a very sensible rule, since faithfulness in marriage is the glue that holds families together. When the covenant of marriage is broken, people suffer. Men, women, and especially children. But Jesus is not content to enforce the rule against adultery. If we are going to swim with him in the Olympic pool, we need to stretch ourselves to see that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I would like to say the opposite of that is true as well for men, for women looking at men as well, or looking at others. Jesus is warning us that it's not healthy to do one thing with our minds and another thing with our bodies. Instead, we are to keep both together. Concerning divorce, Jesus says and reminds us of the kiddie pool rule that says, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. This rule seems reasonable, although it does make divorce a rather easy thing for a man to do. But in the Olympic pool, Jesus says that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual infidelity, causes her to commit adultery. Here, Jesus is saying that divorce should not be an easy thing for a man to acquire, because marriage is one of the foundations of family and community life. In the time of Jesus, marriage was essential to the well-being of women because they had very few economic or legal rights apart from men. And in both ancient times and today, divorce can have a negative impact on the welfare of children. According to census data, nearly 40% of single-parent households in the United States were under the poverty line in 2010. 40% of single parents' households, compared with just 10% of married family households. So we might say that Jesus comes down hard on divorce because he cares so deeply for vulnerable women and children. So does this mean that divorce among Christians should never be permitted? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. There are times when divorce is the best way out of a terrible relationship. But working for the health of marriage is one of the stretch goals for a follower of Jesus. And finally, Jesus talks about concerning oaths. And he notes that the rule of the kiddie pool is, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. Once again, this sounds very sensible. A very sensible rule that encourages people to keep their promises. But Jesus offers a higher challenge, a stretch goal, to anyone who wants to swim with him. He says, do not swear at all. Instead, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Jesus is saying that all words should be truthful, not just the words spoken under oath. When we jump into the Olympic pool with Jesus, everything we say should be truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not just the things we say when we have our hand on the Bible, but everything that comes out of our mouth should be the truth. So we've looked at anger, adultery, divorce, and oaths. The words of Jesus on each of these can challenge us. They can stretch us and sometimes make us feel inadequate. But the good news is that Jesus is always swimming right beside us, helping us to make it across that Olympic pool. He will stretch us a little each day, more and more, until we are able to achieve the goals he sets out for us. Working for reconciliation, being faithful to our partners, strengthening our marriages, and speaking the truth. We will not be great at everything, but we will be stretching ourselves and swimming with Jesus, which is always exciting and amazing. Let's pray together. Lord, during this Lenten season, we do feel that we are being stretched at times. As we seek to follow you, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us instructions on how we are to live. And today, as we've looked at anger and adultery and divorce and making oaths, Lord, we just thank you for your reinterpretation and your understanding of expanding the law of Moses and giving us a new way, but a challenging way to live, oh God. And Lord, we just pray this day that as we set our sights on swimming with Jesus in the Olympic pool, that even though we may still be in the kiddie pool or somewhere in between, we just pray, oh God, that you will be there with us, swimming with us, encouraging us to stretch ourselves and stretch our faith that one day we will be in that Olympic pool with Jesus. We thank you for that. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.